We are in the middle of Pei Dalet, Halachotes. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with the topic and then get back to the Shulchan Aruch later on in the shir, rather than start from the Shulchan Aruch side of it. Okay? We're going to be talking today about raspberries and blackberries. And we'll see as we get to it. Can you just close it open? We're going to see as we get to it how it has to do with our sif. But I'm going to first, before, just give you a little background on what they are. As you probably know, Rabbi Eisenbach and I went on a trip, on a number of trips to learn about this. So just some background to what it is. Okay. Raspberries and blackberries are fruits, we call them fruits, that have two parts to them. Okay. This one part is called the drupelet, and the other part is the receptacle. And that is to say, this is a raspberry, the drupelet is all these little, nodules that sit around here that are the fruit of it. That are the fruit. That's the part that's the edible, more edible part. And on the inside, where there's a cavity on the inside of the raspberry, that cavity has something called a receptacle. And the blackberries have exactly the same thing. The difference between them is that in the raspberry, when you pull the fruit off the tree, the receptacle stays on the tree, leaving a cavity inside. As opposed to on the blackberry, the receptacle stays inside the fruit. So when you pull it off, it's stuffed up. If you look on the inside, it's a more solid fruit. Okay.
Receptacle is really the stem.
It's connected to the stem, but on the raspberry it comes off as you pull it, and on the blackberry it does not come off. Okay. And the difference is that it has two practical applications for us. One is that because the blackberry has a receptacle in it, the blackberry is a much more solid fruit, which is more capable of being washed and handled than a raspberry is. The raspberry is hollow, so it's not as able to be worked with as far as getting rid of the insects. And the second is that because the raspberry has this hollow inside, it has more ability for more places for insects to hide in. Okay, even blackberries have plenty of places to hide because between the drupelets there's lots of space in them. But the raspberry has this whole hollow inside in it where the insects can hide even more. Okay. We're not going to talk about, this may have to do with halacha we learned earlier, about insects that come in after betalos. We're not going to talk about that part. Because this opening on the inside only opens up once the thing is off the tree. It doesn't open up when it's on the tree. Okay. How do you harvest these fruit? I'm telling you the parts that I believe are relevant. Okay, so bear with me. There's two ways to harvest. There are two ways to harvest I'm going to talk about raspberries the whole time, but raspberries and blackberries have very similar processes, the way they're harvested and grown, and as far as, they're just about the same. We're going to talk about this we're going to call it raspberries, but it's really both. No. So, not yet. Okay. Okay. So now, the way you harvest raspberries, not by hand, by machine, is use this machine called the raspberry picker. Okay, this raspberry picker is this, as you can see, it's this very large machine. It is so tall that its two legs go. It's like looks like the letter Ches, okay, which goes over the bush. The bush is, let's say, 5 feet tall, and the picker is the floor of the picker is higher than that. It's got these two legs coming down, and the operator sits on. I don't know if you can see him. The operator sits on the top over there, and what happens is there are these brushes that spin around, and as those brushes are hitting, that are on the inside, are hitting the bush, shaking, they have these bristles coming out of it, they're shaking the bush, and causing any ripe berries to fall off the tree. Okay, we'll see what it has to do with us. We're not saying it. Okay, they fall onto the bottom. You see on the bottom there's a place where they can be caught. And then, onto the bottom,
there's a basket to catch it.
It falls onto there. Then it gets blown. Then it gets blown from here back up to the top of the machine. It gets blown by here up to the top of the machine, where it falls into the basket, and they then bring it back to where it has to go, to the place where they process it. Okay, that's how you do it when you pick it by machine. When you pick it by hand, the guy's going to pick it all by hand and stick it into the container. Okay? And what?
They still do that.
And I'm going to explain to you why they still do that. And what it is like this. When a person produces fresh, if you want to sell raspberries fresh, what you do is those raspberries do not get picked by machine. They just get picked by hand. And the reason is because the machine picks ripe fruits. It shakes the tree, and all the ripe fruit falls off. That's perfect for frozen fruit. You take a ripe fruit, and you freeze it. When you want to take a fresh fruit, when you want to sell it as fresh, you don't want to take ripe fruit, because let's say it can last for 2 weeks after it's ripe, before it spoils. You want to take fruit that's almost ripe. That way you get an extra couple of days. You let it ripen in the container on its way to the store. So by the time it gets to the store, it's ripe. And the people who are eating it have then another 2 weeks before it'll, let's say, 2 weeks to spoil, however many weeks it takes to spoil. So they pick the hand fruits that are not ripe. And enough giving.
Why does the machine know which ones are ripe?
Because it just shakes the tree. And when it shakes the tree, the ones that are ready to come off, they fall off. The ones that are not ripe, so they hold on to the tree. Okay, so what's relevant to us is that the fresh ones get basically, and one more thing is that fresh ones cannot be washed. We'll talk about washing in a second because that causes mold to grow in them. So fresh berries that are picked fresh, a person goes over, pulls them off the tree when they're almost ripe, puts them into the container, and that's it. Nothing else happened. What you have here is what used to be on the tree 3 days ago, or whatever, someone pulled it off the tree and put it, he didn't put it exactly, but basically put it into the container, and that's it, nothing else. The people who do frozen, when you do frozen, it gets more of a process. I'm leading this all up to what it has to do with the practical. And it goes through seven steps, the way we count it. Okay? After it does this picking, the next step is, it's not working on my thing, so I'll show it to you like this. The next, it goes into cold storage. First they chill it, okay, before they work with it, they want it to be colder. And then, everybody does afterwards is they do a blower, which works. It didn't work in the slide, so I'm sorry. This is a blower. This is a blower. The blower is passing by. It's being blown up. If you feel that it's being blown in the air, and that's to remove. That is there to remove.
This is just air blowing down on it. That's why it's bouncing up.
Blowing up on it. Blowing from underneath. Blowing from underneath to blow off all kinds of particles,
leaves,
anything that doesn't belong there gets blown out of there. Okay. Then it gets. Then it goes through a water spray.
Why doesn't the particles land the same place as the raspberries land?
Because
lighter, because it gets sucked away.
The lighter. I don't remember what it is that keeps it from falling right back down.
Lighter.
There's a sprayer. Okay, when I say sprayer, this is not any huge water bath. It's a light sprayer like you see over here. Someone checks it. They rinse it again. They put it to liquid nitrogen to freeze it. And off it goes. I don't have that. And then it goes into a tunnel. And it gets frozen. Okay?
So I missed that with two steps.
Excuse me?
Is this third step?
I said seven. I counted seven steps of this, okay? First you make it cold, you sort it by air, water spray, visual inspection, washing it, nitrogen bath, freezing and freeze tunnel. Okay, I counted seven steps.
Plus
okay.
The shaking
now,
outside.
And now, there's another nafgamina within frozen raspberries, which is the very finest berries are the ones that are sold as IQF. They're sold as what we see as individually frozen, you buy in a bag. Those are the finest berries.
What does finest mean?
Quality. The best. Fine. Like fine and
no sunburns on it.
No,
it's not burnt. Yeah. It's not tainted.
Right. Okay. You know, anyway, as opposed to other ones that are not as good, the ones that are not as good berries, they only go through a few of the steps. They don't go through all these steps. And what they do is basically, after they've done a little bit, what they had to do with it, they basically puree it. Okay, they basically turn it into a mush with more bigger or smaller pieces depending on what you're trying to get. We looked at that stuff, and the possibility of there being a bug there is really, really infinitesimal, that a bug could make it through that pureeing. We're not going to talk about it. It's sort of
a whole bug.
A whole bug. Okay. It's sort of negated to our din, but we're going to leave that part for now. Okay? So now, now let's go back to the fresh berries, the berries themselves. Standing outside on the farms, Rabbi Eisenbach and I looked at dozens of berries. We just pulled them off the tree. And look and look and look. And we see nothing. No bugs. And here they are, they're supposed to be infested. We looked with our own eyes, and we looked at it, and we looked, and we looked, and we looked, and we can't see anything. We didn't see anything. So we called somebody and said to him, what are we missing over here? Somehow we're missing something over here. And he said to us, it's very simple. When you pull, the bugs that are in there are small. They hide inside the berries. They hide in the cracks and crevices between the drupelets. And if you want to see, find the bugs in there.
The balls.
These two pieces. If you want to find the bugs, what you need to do is, you need to get them out. Okay? It's something that Chayodim actually says you're supposed to do. Which is this, and what you're supposed to do is, you take the fruit, and you drop them on a, piece of paper.
A white piece of paper
from, I don't know, a foot and a half up. You drop them down, and that, causes them to come out.
Okay?
Rabbi Schwartz said they come out. His svar was they come out like in an entelator. When they, for milling weed, he was, 100%, that's, he had his whole question for why they come out. It's really a shach later on. It's, we're going to come to it later. Maybe it's halacha yud. Yudalad. I talk about when you grind wheat that the bugs run out. So we did this. We took a bunch back inside, and the company who had been telling us a whole spiel, these people, the farmers, how much they do to make sure that they get there are no bugs, that there are no bugs, and they're very, they do a lot to do it. Lo and behold, there were bugs crawling every place. Okay, there were bugs crawling like anything.
And after the
process. No.
I mean, fresh out of the
They do efforts in the field.
Yes.
We went through their books.
All kinds of stuff. And we showed them, and look up, behold, there were bugs. And he was absolutely floored.
Sure.
He absolutely couldn't believe that there were bugs. Okay? What did you say?
You believe him?
Do I believe him what? That he was surprised?
Yeah.
No. It was
genuine.
The car didn't have
it. The guy's in the business. He doesn't know.
No, the reason is because. We didn't see any bugs either. Until we did this,
we
didn't see bugs looking at it like this. Looking at it just in your hand, and he put in
his ass in the business.
They put in tremendous efforts to make sure that they didn't get any
bugs.
Really, I have to tell you, their interest is really not that there shouldn't be bugs in what you eat. Okay, really, their interest is that there shouldn't be bugs to ruin their vines, which would then they wouldn't get as good fruit from them. That's their real concern. Well, they wouldn't look good if they eat the fruit and it looks brown and stuff like that. I don't see any yet. Okay, we'll give it some time. That's why I didn't want to eat him yet, before we checked it. Okay. I thought you wanted to eat.
No, I wanted to eat.
Yes, he could look at it. Yes, he can give it to him. Okay, so the thing is like this. We're going to assume, it's not for now, but we're going to work with the assumption that raspberries and blackberries, the infestation is a meat hamotzi. Okay? We're not going to... It's quite a question whether it is Minamatsu. Maybe it's worse than Minamatsu. We're going to work with the assumption.
It's worse than
meaning
what?
Something more like a right.
What?
Well, almost something more like there's a right.
Why do you think that there's a right?
We say you found the
numbers. So the numbers that we found and how frequently you find them looked to us like a Minamatsu. I'm skipping that part of it. We became that conclusion. Even though it's actually very important for what I'm about to tell you. But anyhow, that's what it is.
I did two containers with this. Dropping my job method and one bug.
Okay, so it depends. Sometimes you find, sometimes you don't. The way that people find bugs like this gave the impression that it's a meat-a-muscle. Okay, so now, the one question we have to deal with is a person, this is really not from our sibling, but we'll talk about it now, is a person mechuyev to do this kind of checking. Maybe a person is supposed to do is take a fruit, look around by himself, look at it, look, you don't see any bugs, so you can eat it. Maybe that's all you mechuyev to do.
When the bugs come out of the fruit.
Yeah.
How easy is it to see? Do you have to really stare to see them?
No. You see them walking across the paper.
Oh, okay.
They're on a piece of paper. Yeah.
They would be dead.
We're getting to that.
They're not going to walk.
We're getting to that.
They won't come out.
Okay, we're getting to that. So the one question is, are you mechuyev to do this kind of a check? Maybe you're mechuyev to do is to just look and look around, and if you don't see it, then there's no bug, then you can eat it. Okay? So there's a riot to this. That's right. I'm not going to because you're distracted. There's a riot to this. Rabbi Gissinger has a riot to this from Kness Sardel.
Okay. No, it was it. What happened? When did
this appear? I want you to listen to me for a second. Okay. So the riot is from Kness Sardel, and the Kness Sardel says like this: The din is that we're going to have in a few halachas. If you have a person who checks something for insects, and then you look at it afterwards, and you find bugs in there. So now the question is, should you trust this person tomorrow? The person checked, and he obviously didn't do a very good job because you found bugs after he did. So the question is, how do you decide whether the person is or is not qualified? And it's like this. If you found bugs that any person who checks should have been able to find it, then the person is disqualified. Obviously, they're not careful, or they're not trustworthy, and you don't trust them anymore. If you find bugs that were very hard to find, that a regular person wouldn't have found, then the person is not possible because of that. Because, okay, they did what a regular person does. They didn't do this extra amount. So the person doesn't become possible because of that. Okay? So now, in that context, the Knesset Gadol is talking about what happens is, he's talking about that. He's not talking about checking. He's talking about that kind of a thing. He says, We had it. The din is, he said he's talking about parsley. We have over there. He had parsley. And he said is, he found that if you take parsley, if you look at it yourself with your eyes, you're not going to see any bugs in it. Just look at it, you're not going to see any bugs. We're using white instead of black. He said, but if you bang on the table, okay, which is actually what people do still, you bang on the table, then you see, now we're probably not going to see what he said, but we're going to, he says is, if you bang it, and you see, okay, there's loads of bugs come pouring out of it. Okay, and he says the bugs are green. And you can't see them. You can only see them on black. We did it here on white. You can't see them back. He said, and therefore, what he's talking about is, therefore, if the lady didn't find it when she just checked it by hand, don't possible her because of that, because she didn't realize that she was supposed to check it. Okay, that's what he's talking about.
But then, why is
it black? We didn't know black because the green bugs. The bugs are green.
Okay,
that's what Rabbi Kishon just said. Okay. Now look what he says. Lachain, bal nefesh yipet kol hayirakas mikaydim. A bal nefesh should check all the vegetables before him. Ube prad. At this time, when there's more bugs, and therefore, Manati is asking lechol ve'ini lechol kiyam hakach. I only eat certain parts of it. See, that's what he did.
What if there was neman or something?
His discussion that he's talking about is, if you found bugs in this stuff after a person checked them, should you trust them? Should you not trust them? So he's saying is that this is an example of a food that an average person wouldn't know that there's bugs in there. I'm going to now teach you how to show that person that there are bugs in there. But people on their own wouldn't have known that. So the question of Kissinger said was, he says, wait a second. He says that you should, about nefesh. He's like, Baal Nefesh, you have to call your ruckus, you should eat them before he does it. Why isn't he telling the person that he's mechuyev to do, everyone should be mechuyev to do that?
One second, he's talking about kol ha'irakos, he's not talking about that part. That part, the first sentence has to.
That what?
The area should cut in pipe, whatever, right? That's my value.
So call your ruckus, going on other ones.
Right.
So what else?
What is he telling you to do? Other vegetables.
Because you never know, you have to do the other checkers.
Okay, so, and what does he tell you to do? He said you should check them. Why doesn't he tell you that you should bang them? He just told you that the way to find the bugs is to bang them. Rabbi Gissin just said, now, I'm not telling you that everybody agrees. Rabbi Gissin just said is that, he says, banging something is not a method of checking. He says, it's too undefined to say that you're required to bang something. He says, how many bangs should I make? How hard should I bang it? It's hard to say there's a procedure. For if you see to inspect it, I'll look at every leaf. I'll look. I won't see it here, I won't see it. He says, I don't know. He says, how am I supposed to bang it? How many times am I supposed to bang it? He also said.
What he said was.
He wanted to say what Rabbi Yisrael wanted to say was that really the banking was just a way of demonstrating that there are really bugs. No, that there really are bugs. He says because the people didn't believe that there are bugs. That's why the lady is not considered irresponsible. She didn't find them because she wasn't expected to know they're there. Now I've demonstrated to you that they're there. Now go and check them by visually. Just look over the leaves by yourselves by here.
Okay? Oh man, what kind of sword is that?
That what?
You know they're there. You know when you bang them, when you visually you don't find them. When you bang them, they come out. So, okay, now you bang, now go look visually. When you don't, you're not going
to
find them.
The answer is, I forgot to say, what we're working on this question here is, when it's a mi'at hamatzu, it's only a chiyuv d'rabbanan. I forgot to say, I'm sorry. Since it's only a chiyuv d'rabbanan to check for the thing, therefore, it could be the chum chayu so much. That does sound like that, right? It does sound like it's terribly infested. To learn a mispar sure sounds like there's a lot of it. Okay, so I have to tell you, he thought that a riot from this, everybody who would read this would think the opposite. Everyone reading the Knesset Gedolah thinks that the riot is, aha, you see, you have to read even kinds of unusual things. He thought, punk fuck here. And Rabbi Schwartz said, look, he said, the reason why we check things, we're not talking about that right now, the reason why we check things is because it's Efshel Avurei. It's Efshel Avara. Well, if Efshel Avara means, you gotta drop it on the table, so that's Efshel Avara, that's how you're gonna find the bugs. He said, that's what you're going to do. So Rabbi Schwartz said, yes, you are going to do that. And so even though this is not through a visual inspection, you might not see any bugs, okay? But if banging it, and then we have some other guy who said, you should put sugar on the chalitz, and if you're banging it, it's going to get the bugs out, then if bangers can get the bugs out, the dropping them is going to get the bugs out, then you'd be mechuyev to do it.
Or screw it. If banging gets the bugs out, it just proves that there's bugs. Do you need every single bug? Every single bug is going to get out of it?
So, Rabbi Schwartz said that if a person would drop it and there would be no bugs would come out of it, then you're finished. Then you've done enough.
Okay.
He thought that if you did that,
but if you find a bug, doesn't mean after you bug, then it's mutter because all the bugs came out.
He said, drop it again. And he says, if you go through a run with no bugs coming out of it, you're finished. Now, there are two ways he thought of it. Here, Rabbi Schwartz thought that meant there's no more bugs left. And other people say this, well, maybe there are some bugs. Maybe there's not a bee in a bunch anymore. Meaning,
the same raspberry. The one that gets stuck in there, the guy that,
I got one raspberry out, a bug came out. I do it again, nothing comes out. So what does that tell me?
Does it mean everything left? No,
so. Or just held on to for the ride?
Maybe, right.
So there are those who will tell people, if you find some bugs coming out, then just throw the batch out.
I agree.
Rabbi Schwartz's thought was, if you bang, drop it, get bugs, try it again. If you get no bugs, then you're free and you're on your own.
We're getting to dead ones in a second.
Okay. So far, so now we're talking about fresh berries. Now we have to talk about frozen berries. Okay? That was the more serious trial, which is frozen berries. We're getting trapped in. Don't worry, it's coming. Okay? And we're talking about frozen berries. Frozen berries, obviously, if you drop them on the table, there are no bugs coming out of them. Okay, there are no bugs that come out of a frozen berry. The bug is very dead. He's not coming out anymore.
Is that what they crawl out when they're alive?
Well, they crawl out.
Right.
They crawl out. When we're dropping it on the table,
the scariness,
all kinds of swears as to what makes them come out when you drop them. But when they're dead, they're not coming out. Trias amesim, we're not doing. So
they're not. In other words, they cling to the side?
They're inside. They're in the little cracks and crevices. Okay.
So they're coming out. But if their moms are in between these things, right? Because, you know, that's what you're saying.
Correct. They're hiding in between this, what they call the droplets.
There's no way.
Okay.
When you freeze something, a berry, if you drop it when it's frozen, it's going to have ice crystals, so nothing's going to come out. Live or dead, it's not going to come out if there's ice on it because it's water.
They don't put it in water. No, they freeze it in liquid nitrogen.
It doesn't matter what it is. This is an organic thing.
Yes.
When you freeze it, just by the fact of freezing, it's going to get ice on it.
Okay.
Okay. If you take something that has ice on it and you drop it, you're going to get ice to come off of it. You're not going to get...
Okay, that might be true. We're sure not going to get bugs come off it because they're dead.
But then, if you let it fall...
You say either alive,
you want to come off. But then, if you let it fall a little bit so that there's no ice on it, it's water. So even if they were alive, they're going to be able to stick on it because it's water. So I'm just... To clarify that no matter what you do after it's frozen, dead or alive, they're not going to come off either because the water is there or because the frozen
thing. That's fine. No problem. Okay, so now we're talking about the frozen berries. So let's just see what we spoke about so far, and then we're ready for the frozen berries. Okay, the fresh berries, we're assuming they're mian amotsu, and you're mechuyev to check them by this dropping method to see if they come off. When you harvest a frozen berry, some of the steps that it takes to harvest the berry are steps that would get bugs out. Think about it a second. How did they get the berry off the tree? They dropped it. They had this harvester. But what did the harvester do? It shook it on the tree. It dropped down onto the tray on the bottom. And then it got blown up, and then it get blown a little bit later. Right? Those are all the same things that we're talking about to get the bugs out. When it drops onto that thing on the bottom, it's just as likely to get the bug out as my dropping it onto a piece of paper. Okay? What they're doing is something that would chase bugs out. The rinsing that they do to it is pretty schwach. Yeah. This blowing could potentially get some bugs out. The rinsing is schwach. But what I'm saying, there are steps here that have some potential of helping getting rid of bugs.
When you drop the thing, is it that they're going to run away, or they're you're knocking the ones out?
They're going to run.
Let's say they're dropping this in the tray. Is there enough time for the bugs to actually get out?
Yeah.
When's the blower?
It takes a little time. They roll over to the side and they fly away.
That's not like that, right? It takes a few seconds.
That's enough time for the bug to come
out. Like, here it is.
We're laying in city here. I mean, how
long did it?
No, it came right out. No, then you drop it. If you do it in a frozen berry, you're not going to find the insect in the frozen berry because we're not going to come out. My reason, Ken's reason, whoever's reason you like, they're not coming out. So how do people even know that there are bugs in frozen berries? Okay, so the only way that people can find them is, I'm not going to give you all the gory details, but essentially they take the berries, the frozen berries, put them into water. In a way, they end up breaking apart the berries, After they break apart the berries, they filter the water through a cloth, look at the cloth, and on that cloth you can see if there are bugs or there are not bugs, and there are people who have found bugs in frozen berries. They have found them in land. Okay? But what happens is, you understand that if you do that, once you're finished doing that whole procedure, there's nothing left to eat. Okay? You've destroyed the fruit, and there's nothing left to eat.
Right.
So what it is, it was a very interesting, when this was going on, while I was working on this, not now, some time ago, when I was working on this, I was in the middle of traveling. Okay, and as I was traveling, I got a chance to speak to all the mashgichim who showed me how they take apart the frozen berries and find the bugs, who told me, see, look, there are bugs in these things. Each one, just about every one of them, I spoke to the Rav HaMachshir, who oversees the hashgacha that person works to. Okay? And every one of the Rabbanim HaMachshirim told me, no, of course you're not mechuyev to do that. No, of course not. We're going to go to such lengths and destroy the fruit. And we're going to talk about...
Again, you're talking about Midamotzi.
If it's a Midamotzi, yes. We're going to talk about why that should be true, okay? And every one of the mashkichim who was doing it as, look, see, I can find the bugs, so you can't eat them. Every one of their Rabbanim HaMachshirim was saying, no, no one's mechuyev to go to such lengths to find the bugs. Okay, it was just a...
Well, contrary.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, so...
They couldn't survive.
So, what?
How were they able to serve the
frozen ones? So,
you tell me they were checking in a way that
they... Frozen. They were checking frozen ones and saying, you see, I can show you how many bugs are on frozen berries.
And therefore you
can't eat them. Since there's no way to check them, and therefore you can't eat them.
Oh, you can eat them.
Their conclusion is, and therefore don't eat it. Okay, so you would say is...
How do you define it as a mitamotzi? The doctrine is not putting one bear into the water, probably 50 or 100, right? And they come out with, let's say, 50 bears. They've got 50 bears, they come up with 50 bucks.
So
are we going to say that each bear has one bug?
They work on the hanukkah that it is a mitamotzi.
I said we're not going to talk about that part. That's its own schmooze. We talked about that mitamotzi. It's own schmooze. How they decided it was a mitamotzi. We're accepting that it's Midamotzi.
Right, around that Hanukkah.
Okay. You would say, once I have a frozen berry and it's not Mechuyev to check it, my Hanukkah would have been to say, well, it's a Chiyuv Darabanan to check it. It's not possible to check it anymore, so I'm not Mechuyev to check it anymore. Okay? So, Rabbi Neustadt, now from Detroit, he wasn't then, Rabbi Neustadt said that it's not true. He thought that he should be Mechuyev to check it. Why? If you look in Hilchos Trefus, it's in Simon.
Watch the, you have a, take off the page. Have it. You just keep it off on your page.
Simon Lamates. In Simon Lamates, it says, what happens if a person checked an animal? He has an animal, he checked it. We check the lungs because they have a meter, most of them have a trephis. The person checked an animal and the lungs got eaten. Okay, an animal came along and ate the lungs. And now he's not able to check them anymore. Okay, so what is he supposed to do now? A million amounts of animals are trephis in their lungs, but he can't check the lung anymore because the lung is gone. So the Machabit says that since it's only a million amounts, it's only drabbanan, so therefore the person, it's not possible to check it. It's not possible, the lungs are not here anymore. So therefore you're allowed to eat it because midrash says mutter, it's a chiyuv b'dika, there's no way to do a b'dika. So what does the chomer want from your life? What are you supposed to do? But so that's what the Mechaber says. So if you're a Sephardi, you can eat the frozen berries. He said, but what does the Rama say over there? The Rama says, no, you're not allowed to eat it. The animal's treif. Why? The Shach says, why? Because when the Chacham said that you have to check for a Mir HaMatzui, part of that din is, and if you don't have it, sort of to enforce that din, they said this, and if you don't check it, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So when the part of the din of saying you have to check for Mir HaMatzui is, the Chacham added some strength there by saying, and if you don't check it, then you can't eat it. So if the lungs disappear, you can't eat it. So he said, it's in Cain, if the berries are frozen and you can't check them because the bugs are dead or the bugs are frozen, whatever reason is, can't check it. So he said, so now if you're an Ashkenazi, you can't eat it.
In order
for the Chacham to strengthen the Takana, you have to check certain
things. They only made their takana, so if I lost it, so they want to strengthen their takana. But that's in an item where I'm not going to ruin the rest of the animal to hear. But
sure, they're not the rest. If I can't eat it, the animal's going to ruin the garbage. You can't eat it. You can throw the animal in garbage. It's treif.
But I'm saying, in a regular case, so here, when you have a meter of a case where you lost the lungs, so then in such a case, they say low pulled.
Yes.
But in an etzem, where the etzem fruit, where it's going to be impossible to ever eat this fruit.
Okay. So
then maybe there they didn't say
that. That's one case.
Right. It's me always.
Right.
So we're coming to it. Yeah, yes, good point. I'm going to come to your further point now. Because, yes.
Rabbi Kirill is saying that the Chachamim didn't say it, and then Rabbi Yossi was the same. They didn't have the same Gemara? What's
the right? It's a good question. It's not a Gemara that says that you don't have to do it. The question is whether it is a later takana, like a strengthened Gemara, or it's understood. Whether it's understood that if you can't check it, you may strengthen takana by saying that you're not eating afterwards. That's a good question. Okay, so that's what he said. So he said, so you see from there that you're not going to eat it. Okay. The problem is, that same din is repeated in Hilchasan. That's our din. That's where we come to this altar. That's where we're talking about raspberries today. Because the same din happens by Toloim. What did the Machaber say? What happened if someone cooked a food that needed to be checked, and he cooked it without checking it first? If you could still check it, so you have to check it. Of course you have to check it. And if it's not possible to check it anymore, if you cooked it, and now that it's cooked, it's impossible to find the bugs anymore, so what's it in? Mutter. You're allowed to eat it. Why does the Machaber say it's mutter? Because midrabanan you have to check it. If you can't check it anymore, then you don't have to. That's it. The Chometz is only Machaber to check it. If you could check it. If you can't check it, you can't check it. What does the Ramah say on that?
Nothing.
So, the Ramah doesn't answer. How come the Ramah argued in Hilchos Treifos? In Hilchos Treifos, he said, if you can't check it, you're not allowed to eat the animal. And over here, he didn't say, why does Rama say, no, according to us, you're not allowed to eat it. You have to throw the food out.
So it could be told to the Ruach.
Why is it a Cheska Sisser on the animal? Why is it a Cheska Sisser?
So the Shach asks the Kasha,
how come the Ramah doesn't argue over here? How come he argued over there in Simulam Kessi? He didn't argue over here. The Shach's Kasha right over here. How come he doesn't argue? So the
good Kasha.
So the Shach answers that the difference is like this. One, there are two reasons why to be say the food is mutter in our case. There's only one reason to say the meat is mutter. The reason for the meat is that maybe it wasn't a treifa. Okay, that's not enough. But over here, this is, so our case has one reason also, which is maybe there were no bugs. That could be. It's a meat and mutter. A meat and mutter means that maybe there are bugs, maybe there weren't. So that would be one reason. That wouldn't be enough. But there's a second reason. The second reason is that there's a sex fake over here. Because over here, you also cook the vegetables. Cooking the vegetables is something that could get rid of the bugs.
Mimuach.
Cooking them up, I don't mean get rid of them, would disintegrate them to the point that they would be mutter. So here there's a second reason to be mutter. That's why the Ramah doesn't argue. Here where there's two reasons to be mutter. Not just that there might have not been bugs in the first place, but there's a second reason. Maybe the bugs that were there, the process that you did to it, got rid of the bugs. So Mimela, in that case, the Ramah is willing to agree to the Shulchan Aruch that since you can't check it anymore, you're not mukhlis. Why?
If you want to say that there's no obvious bugs or that there's no whole bugs,
no.
But to say there's
no okay. In each berry that I pick up, there might be no bug in this one.
No. You said and when you cook it.
Yeah, I cooked up. So I had a batch of lettuce. And I made stuffed cabbage out of it. That's cabbage. Could it be that this cabbage had no bugs in it? It could be that this whole head didn't have any bugs in it. So I don't know that there are bugs in it. Sometimes cabbages have bugs in them, so therefore we check them. But this cabbage, it's possible it had no bugs in it. So that's why it's possible that this one didn't have it. Okay, so one reason is, we saw that when you make IQF berries, when you make berries that are going to be frozen, the process that you do to it, the harvesting, the washing, and the blowing of it are things that potentially could get rid of the bugs, to the point that we also have a svek seiko. We didn't cook it. We didn't cook these bugs, these vegetables, but we also did things to them that could have gotten rid of the bugs. So we have the same svek svek, the Shach says that for our most time of we have for our frozen berries, not for our fresh, but for our frozen berries, you have the same svek svek. Some of them, there were bugs there in the first place, and even if there were bugs, maybe there were things done to it during the processing that got the bugs off. So first of all, we have the same svek svek. Second is, even in the case of the lungs, even in the case of the lamates, when the Ramah says you're not allowed to eat it, the Ramah says you're not allowed to eat the meat, the Ramah says, B'makom hefsek gadol you can eat it. That's what he said. He said, I didn't tell you because I wasn't ready to. He said, B'makom hefsek gadol you can eat it. Okay? So,
wasn't the loss of the whole animal always a hefsek gadol?
I don't know. So, he says, in the case of the hefsek gadol, you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat it. To which, Rabbi Asher says, he's not talking about berries. Rabbi Asher says, he brings it from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was talking about a case where there was a year that there were bugs in arbis, chickpeas. It was considered, in order to find the bug, you'd have to cut each chickpea open. They considered that beyond what a person is required to do. Just think in perspective. They said it was beyond what you had to do to cut open every chickpea to look for a bug. That was too much. But of course you don't have to do that. So the shaila was, you were not going to be able to eat chickpeas that year, because the chickpeas were infested to a meter monster. I'm sure he says, that's considered, it's impossible to check, because you can't, he's cutting open each one, it's considered impossible to check. Not being able to eat chickpeas for a year is considered a hefsek gadol, and therefore, the Ramah would be mighty, that in this case, you could be some on the derisa and eat the chickpeas without checking them. And Rabbi Yashiv used that to explain what Rosh Hashanah could say. So if he would say that, if he's saying that, to say that for chickpeas for a year is considered a hefsek gadol, that even Ramah is moider, that you could be samech on the derisa and not check it. So, like what Yankee said, so frozen berries, to say no frozen berries altogether, that's just as
hard. Chickpeas could be on with the staple food, and I asked this guy.
Staple food, that's all they eat. Chickpeas! I mean, they eat.
Not in America, but Hashem,
listen to Rabbi Asher's words. Rabbi Asher's words. Rabbi Asher's words are, V'leser kol hamin, ein lecha hefsek gadol mizeh. To answer a whole min, he's not saying because that was a min. I don't remember what his case was looking at. He's bringing from Shlomo Kluger about the chickpeas. That's what he says. Okay, so lastly, I'm going to tell you one more thing, which I'm not going to tell you, which is there's another way to be miyashiv. Why the Ramah doesn't argue over here? Why he argues in Hilchos Trei Kedushin over here?
Yeah.
And that hesber has to do with the next year we're going to talk about, which has to do with broccoli. That's the next year. That hesber. There's another hesber for why the Ramah doesn't argue. I told you what the Shach says why he doesn't argue. Mm-hmm. There's another way to explain why he doesn't argue. According to that hesber, it would for sure be more than case. Right. But I'm not. That's to entice you to come back next time. Anyhow, the bottom line is based on this. The serious position is, Rabbi Schwartz agreed to this, that because of this, IQF raspberries and blackberries, which are roughly the same, they're not exactly, we can talk afterwards, there's a little bit of a difference, they're roughly the same, because of this, since at this point, even though you could have checked them when they were fresh, you could have checked them before they froze them, since at this point they're not able to be checked, and you'd be asking the whole min, because we allow them, even though there's potential, there are bugs in them, based on this thing.